A very brief follow-up from Ilse's comment last night about when you're really settling deeper into shamatha, that the very sense of self starts to get somewhat amorphous or diffuse. According to the Madhyamaka view, our very sense of self and the very existence of the self as this individuated being is something that comes into existence independent upon conceptual designation. We think ourselves into existence. So another twist on I think, therefore I am, I think I am, therefore I am. And so we know this is true, I mean experientially, as we dwell on our personal history, on our memories, of what we think about ourselves, we are weaving ourselves, we're like spinners or weavers, weaving the very sense of who I am, what kind of a person I am. We're weaving this quite constantly throughout the course of the day and even while dreaming, by ongoing thinking and designating ourselves, a lot of it with rumination. And so when we settle deeper into shamatha practice, the density, the sheer volume of this rumination, especially about I, me, mine, dissipates. It calms. We'll get lapses where there's no evident thinking going on at all, in which case it's just natural. It would be kind of common sense that the sense of self that is being constructed by and reinforced by thinking is now being deconstructed by the dissipation of thinking. So there are layers and layers of the sense of I am, and we're gradually eroding that by undermining or releasing the conceptualization that is again imputing and reinforcing and reifying the sense of self. So quite naturally then, this familiar sense of self that is buoyed up by this ongoing flow of thinking dissipates. When we finally get to the substrate consciousness, when you've actually achieved shamatha, then one of the characteristics, as you all remember, is non-conceptuality. But it's important to recognize it's not absolutely non-conceptual. It's a not complete absence of concepts. Thoughts occasionally still arise. They're not disturbing or agitating, but they arise. But also on a more subliminal level, conceptualization is still taking place. And one piece of evidence for that, which is slam dunk evidence, completely conclusive evidence, is that while you're resting in shamatha, resting in the substrate consciousness, you can still have craving, and almost certainly will have craving for bliss, luminosity, non-conceptuality. I crave, therefore I am. Okay, so the sense of self there is not, and by the way, the person who's craving is a 60-year-old California guy who's, you know, it's not that. It's not on that gross level because that's dissolved. It's more core. It's more basic. And it's resting right there, still an ongoing flow of sense of I am, which is now in a not coarse discursive mode. It's not a coarse conceptual mode. And the mind itself is not operating at a coarse level, it's the subtle mind, right? Substrate consciousness. So this, it's like we've peeled away the layers of the coarse sense of self, and now there's this subliminal sense of I am, which can give rise to craving and so forth, and of course, therefore, is this reified sense of self. But it's been peeled away, it's been, how do you say, its armor has been taken off, the armor of all the crusty, I am such a... Whatever we think about ourselves. I was about to say something, but why say anything at all? All the stories we tell about ourselves, the stories are gone. And the person who feels, well, I used to be a university lecturer. I used to be somebody's boyfriend. I used to be a bank manager, but then I got fired, and so forth. I used to be, but who was it that used to be and will be prior to and independent of all these roles that we take on and these relationships, occupational, personal, and so forth and so on? Who is it that's taking on all the roles? By the time you're resting in the substrate consciousness, there aren't any roles. You're down to the emperor with no clothes. What? You're not putting on the clothes of a bank manager or a boyfriend or professor or girlfriend or any or a dog owner or anything else. You're down to no clothes. And moreover, the coarse grasping of the desire realm, gone. Coarse attachment for the desire realm, gone. Anger, gone. That is, it's gone dormant. So you're down now to a pretty naked and quite vulnerable sense of self. Really tenacious, extremely habitual, one we're born with. This is hlinge. This is innate. This is not an acquired sense of self. This is what we came in with. So now you got it naked. You got it with no guards. The ramparts are down. Now that you've achieved shamatha, you can come in with that sharp blade of vipassana. Bye-bye, emperor. Okay? So, but there's an interesting point here, and very briefly, and that is that in the process of this, on the one hand, while we are peeling the layers off these outer encrustations of I am, I am, I am, on the other hand, is it not true that in a way we're reinforcing the sense of I have a mind and I'm getting better and better and better control over it? It used to be very scattered and agitated, and now it's less. And now I am recognizing medium laxity and subtle laxity. I'm recognizing medium and subtle excitation, and I am getting the better of them. I am dispelling them. I am doing so well. I am a very good meditator. And so on the one hand, it's peeling away all the armor. On the other hand, it seems like it's almost reinforcing the sense, I have a mind and I'm getting in charge. Right? As opposed to people when they get really frenzied and really agitated, they make me feel, I feel I'm almost losing my mind. You ever heard that one before? If that's the mind you're losing, you're better off without it. So, here we go. So it's a very interesting getting the target. It's getting the target as I'm releasing my mind, I'm inverting my mind. I'm getting better and better at it. I am controlling my mind. That is exactly the target. I am the controller. I'm autonomous. I'm in here. I have a mind. I have a body. You're getting a nice crystal clear target. You got it in the scope. It's getting in focus. There's the target of the delusional sense of I am. Getting in crystal clear focus. In the meantime, you're peeling off all the layers that make it so invulnerable and so hard to get at. You achieve shamatha, come in with a sharp blade, vipassana. For mindfulness of breathing at the nostrils, where we go today, the one cautionary note, because I'm eager to get back to the practice too, is as we're very slender is the best word I can find, focusing here at the sensations of the breath at the nostrils. If you start feeling pressure building up in the head, ease off. You're coming in with too much force, too much effort, too thick. Come in very thin. Almost like you're coming, like you're a jet fighter pilot coming and flying in under the radar. Fly in under the radar so the radar of your forehead muscles don't go, somebody's coming in, you know, and clamping down and getting you on the radar screen. You know, come in low, come in quiet. And just very slenderly, just focus there. If there's no pressure building up, all is well. If pressure builds up, come back to the tummy. Okay? Let's go. Let's settle the body in its natural state and the respiration in its natural rhythm. For a little while, with the primary emphasis on setting your mind at ease, let your awareness be diffuse, but present and clear. As you attend to the sensations correlated with the breath, wherever they most distinctly manifest in the body, and now, in order to simultaneously and synergistically cultivate all three qualities of shamatha, let's elevate the focus of the attention to the apertures of the nostrils or the area just above the upper lip, wherever you most clearly sense the passage of the in and out breath. It is of vital importance that you keep your forehead open, spacious, no contraction whatsoever between the eyebrows, no focusing or tightening of the eyes or any of the muscles around the eyes. Keep all of that area loose, relaxed, soft, and utterly disengaged from the meditative practice. Focus just your mental awareness on these sensations at the tip of the nose. Rather than taking 5, 10, 15 minutes to ease into the practice, from the very first breath, relax deeply and utterly let go as you breathe out. During the inhalation, arouse and focus your attention, and you've just completed one session. Relax deeply with the next breath. Arouse with the next inhalation, you finish two sessions. Let there be an ongoing stream of mindfulness. Engage with the ongoing stream of tactile sensations at the tip of the nose, both during and in between the in and out breaths. regard this as a full-time job, so there is simply not a moment to lose by intervening thoughts. As soon as one crops up, release it instantly and maintain the flow of mindfulness of the breath. Apply counting of the breaths insofar as it's helpful, even if it's just an occasional count of 1 through 10, to reorient and re-engage. And again, as a reminder, apply introspection occasionally to monitor the body and the flow of the breath, more frequently to monitor the mind, noting excitation, relaxing, re-engaging, noting laxity, arousing, and re-engaging. Now let's continue practicing now in silence. And let's bring the session to a close. Lasso, today's Wednesday, so we are just about to enter the second half of our eight-week retreat. So now hopefully you're getting the point of cruising altitude, kind of getting into a regular rhythm, really into the retreat, which means the time in between sessions is all the more important, because for most of you, not quite all of you, but for most of you, the time spent in formal practice as opposed to that in between sessions, formal practice is still a minority. More time, off. And so that means the off time is extremely important. So what I would suggest you do is choose one or more methods of having a deliberate kind of resolve, all right, what's my practice in between sessions? You know, there's a wide variety. It can be open presence, it can be following the breath, it can be watching the mind, it can be just bringing your awareness into the senses and walking, being very present in the body. You have a wide variety, I don't need to reiterate, but I would suggest that you choose and then see if you can maintain that as much as possible in between. And then also minimize talking, minimize reading. When you consider the rarity of this type of circumstance and opportunity, and the ease with which you can read and talk outside of these 8 weeks, there's tons of time, hopefully, for talking. Talk your head off. And reading, you can read in the subway, airports, all kinds of places you can read. But there aren't too many places or phases in a life where we have such simplicity, everything's taken care of us, and all we need to do is practice. So I simply encourage you to take full advantage of this time and marginalize these discursive activities that tend to just arouse the obsessive compulsive mind so that you have less remedial work to do every time you go back into the session. So it's a smoother transition. Suggestion? Okay. Enjoy your day. I'll see you at 4:30.